We are continuing to look at the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ for this life. Blessings that, of course, go beyond the mercy of forgiveness and cleansing that we receive when we originally come to know Christ and we begin our Christian walk. And we've covered four. We'll look at those, review just the next slide. But tonight, we're going to focus on another spiritual treasure, spiritual understanding. And you're going to see that it's basically the ability to make the right connections, to put things together. But let's look and see what we've looked at before. We talked about tranquility in the inner man, a serenity, a peaceful assurance that allows a person to make decisions, to see with clarity without the agitation of confusion and the turmoil. We talked about the joy of the Lord, which is based upon an awareness that God is for us and actively at work with us in every situation. And this is a joy that we can have internally. Doesn't have to be based upon circumstances. Men in prison can have the joy of the Lord. People in difficult job situations can have the joy of the Lord. So this is a spiritual treasure again. We talked about the sound mind, the ability to have our emotions and our thoughts guided by a restraint, a holy restraint that keeps us from being overpowered by impulses and rash decisions. And then last week we talked about wisdom from above as pure and peaceable. And we especially spoke about how it gives us clarity. It allows us to see clearly so that we can make the right decisions, recognize situations properly. You know, and all of these treasures are meant to enrich our spiritual lives both now and in the future. But let's go on to tonight's study, which is spiritual understanding. It is also taken from Colossians 1:9, because you'll see that at the last of the scripture that it's wisdom and spiritual understanding. They're together. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we covered wisdom last week, but let's talk about what is this spiritual understanding. It comes from the Greek word sunesis. And here's the definitions that I've taken. These are the definitions I've taken from Greek scholars. These are not just my thoughts. These are thoughts that men who dedicated their whole lives to study and understand that original language. This synesis is a putting together in the mind, where facts become joined together for a complete picture. It's a synthesized reasoning that joins implicit truths for comprehension. Synthesize is another way of thinking. It becomes one. Two things become one. And so for the believer, spiritual understanding connects the dots. It helps a person put two and two together. You begin to realize how things properly fit together, how they work together, how they interact with each other. And this is help from God for us to be able to do this. Originally, so you can get a better idea of the word, sunesis was used to designate the place where two streams join together. Sun is with, and asis is a form of the word to send with or to send together. So the idea where when they saw two different streams become one, it's take that as a foundation for what we're going to be talking about in understanding. So when God brings together truths and enables us to recognize the connection between them, this is Him giving us understanding. in Luke chapter 2, Jesus was 12 years old. Remember when he stayed behind and his parents were frantically looking for him, and after the third day, or on the third day, they finally found him sitting in with the teachers. He was listening and asking them questions. But it says that all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So what they were observing is that Jesus was really able to put passages together. He was able to put the scriptures together. He had a solid understanding of how the scriptures fit together, about prophecy and Israel and their relationship with God. You remember the parable of the sower? That's the parable that is about different ways that men hear. One of the things that Jesus explains about the way men hear is that some men see, but they don't perceive. They hear, but they do not understand. In other words, they don't connect what's being said. They miss a vital part of it. Just doesn't come together in their mind. And he said if they perceived with their eyes and they understood with their hearts, they would turn and I would heal them. But in other words, if they made the connection with what I'm saying and what their response should be, if that connection was made in their mind, they would act. They would turn, and as soon as they turn to the Lord, he'd be there to heal them. But they're not making the connection. They're not receiving that spiritual understanding. You see, parables are somewhat like word puzzles. All the pieces are there. All the facts are there. But you have to kind of put it together to see the whole picture. And if you don't spend time trying to put the puzzle together, asking God for understanding, asking him to bring it together in your mind, you may never get the picture. You may never get it. Another example, and here's an example of how Jesus enabled the disciples to put two and two together. After his resurrection, he had appeared to the women. He had appeared to Simon and to John. And then in Luke chapter 24, he appears to these two disciples who are on the road to Emmaus. They don't recognize it as Jesus. He explains all that has been happening. He talked to them about all that the prophets said that were necessary for the things that had to happen to him to fulfill God's will. And then so those disciples come back recognizing that, wow, that was the Lord Jesus. Remember they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures when he talked with us by the way? So now they've come back and they're in the upper room, and the disciples are there and they're trying to sort out all the stuff, the crucifixion, the arrest, the resurrection, what the women have said, what Peter has said. Now these two guys come in and say they've seen the Lord, and they are trying to put it all together. And then Jesus comes. He suddenly appears in the room, and here's what it said. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And then it says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So what is happening is he helped them connect all the events that they're trying to understand with the prophecies in scripture. So suddenly he helped them put it all together. They saw that these random, what they thought might have been random events just done by evil men, they were able to see, not nonstop, seemingly random events became orchestrated by God. so they could recognize God's work. Yes. And before, I mean, they had read the scripture like some of us have. You've read the Bible, but have you really seen how things come together? Do you really see God's purpose in things? Sometimes you're just not getting it. It's just, you don't see how things are fitting together in a purpose where God's at work. So let's talk about some of the benefits of God giving us the ability to connect things properly, to have spiritual understanding. These are going to be some examples of the ability to connect things. How about connecting cause with effect? You know, we have people in prison because they can't connect what they're doing with the consequences. They can't connect that having this desire and satisfying it with an illegal drug or with something that is not healthy. There are women who are lonely. They can't connect that choosing to just stay with or move in with some available guy, they can't connect it that that's a dead end. They're missing it. And they miss the cause and effect because it doesn't come together. They lack understanding. But Proverbs 4 says this, that the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what's making them stumble. They keep doing things, running into dead ends, making bad choices, and they don't get it. They don't get why things aren't going well for them because they don't have understanding. See, people dig their own graves. Then they wonder how they got there. Sometimes, don't you just feel like when you're trying to help someone, the first thing you need to do today, hey, can you give me the shovel? No, I'm busy. Yeah, you're busy digging your own grave. You know, you don't see that you're getting yourself nowhere.
They're busy entrapping themselves in a trap.
Because they're not given understanding. They miss the ability. It is when God begins to give us understanding, we begin to see clearly, if I do this, it's going to cost me this. And that is a big help. That's the fear of the Lord. That will enable us to actually avoid making bad decisions. Because it says here in this scripture that the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. His own backsliding will punish him. This picture, by the way, is a person literally digging his own grave. That's one of the ISIS prisoners. They forced them to dig their own graves before they killed them. Yeah, that's sad. How about, let's ask ourselves, have we seen these connections? Have you seen the connection with anger and destructiveness? Especially in relationships. Anger just destroys relationships. It destroys trust. It destroys intimacy. It destroys fellowship. The Bible literally says, do not associate with one easily given to anger, yes, lest you get yourself ensnared. Yes. Angry people are full of blame. And it's always someone's fault. And it so ruins relationships, but they don't make the connection. They don't make the connection that it's not the difficulty they're having, it's the way they're dealing with it that's destroying them. Anger, the Bible says that man's anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. We need to make that connection that anger is one letter away from danger. They don't make the connection with stubbornness and homelessness. Do you realize that I realize that one of the biggest reasons people are homeless is they're stubborn? You know what I mean? Let me explain that. You know how many times I offer someone an option and their first response is, no, I don't do that. No, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to go there because you have to go in by a certain, they have a curfew.
Yes.
No, I don't want to go there because for the first 3 months, you can't go anywhere. Oh, okay. So there's the place offering to disciple you, to give you a bed, to feed you, to surround you with others, and to teach you the way of the Lord. But you're not going there because you can't go anywhere for 3 months.
And they
you're not going anywhere now, except in circles. But you don't want to go there.
Every day.
You know, and to think about it, think of how many times, you know, why is there not a family member that they can stay with? It's because they won't listen to what the family member asks them to be reasonable about. I mean, and then finally they wear out that relationship. They wear out the relationship with the neighbor. They wear out the relationship with the friend. And why? It's because they want their own way, and they fail to make a connection.
Yes.
Rudy?
Some people don't want to go to the shelter because they have to bathe every day.
Yes. I mean, their reason, it's stubbornness is a big reason you end up totally on your own.
Yes.
With no one willing to help.
Yes.
How about making the connection with complacency and captivity? Especially complacency about work. Oh, you need to go and look out and be aggressive about finding work. But if you're complacent about it, it says poverty comes upon you like a man. Here's the scripture: a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will run upon you like a bandit. And I mean, poverty is chasing you down and it will hold you in a headlock. And you know why? Because you're just complacent. But you don't make the connection. You don't make the connection. And sensuality with slavery. Sensuality. The people willing to satisfy a physical desire, either for physical intimacy with someone that they're not married to, or with some kind of drug or some kind of drink or some kind of escape, or sometimes it's some kind of activity. It didn't always have to be. Sometimes it's a hobby. Sometimes it's work. But when they fail to make the connection that trying to fulfill a desire is only going to end in slavery to that desire.
Yes.
But they don't make the connection. Spiritual understanding, the ability to make these connections, to put two and two together, would save people from a lot of self-destruction. Self-destruction. God's not angry at them. God's not doing it to them. They are doing it to themselves.
Yes.
He's given them free will, and they don't understand that if you choose wrong, you will reap wrong. God is not mocked. Whoever sows to please his flesh, from his flesh he reaps corruption. He's reaping it because he's sowing to the flesh. Whereas the person who sows to the Spirit reaps everlasting life.
Amen.
If we put these two and two together, if we receive spiritual understanding, the ability to connect things properly, we will get out of cycles where we are literally shooting ourselves in the foot, burning our own bridges, and undermining our own help. Let's talk about some positive ones. Making these kind of spiritual connections. How about faith with hearing? How many of you have understood that the key to having a vibrant faith is how focused and intense you are in the way you hear?
Yes.
That if you're not a good hearer, it's going to affect your faith. That if you're weak in faith, it's because you have a hearing problem. You lose focus. You don't retain everything that's spoken, because you did not concentrate. This is what Jesus said. Be very careful how you listen. For whoever has, he will be given more. So when he's talking about understanding, the more carefully you listen, the more you begin to understand. The more you begin to understand, the more you'll be able to understand. But the person not listening carefully, he doesn't understand, but he just thinks he does. Oh, I already got that. I've already read the Bible. I already know that. Yeah, you've already said that. Yeah, here we go again. Yada, 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 yada. You know, so even what they think they have is taken away. It's because they're not listening. They're not wanting to listen. Jesus was literally saying, if you want faith, listen carefully. Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
That's a connection.
Amen.
If you begin to receive spiritual understanding, you'll make that connection. That if you come to a study like this, and if you come with a wandering mind, you'll see people, you'll have a good meal, you'll pick up a few things here and there, but you will not get the full potential until you learn. You come ready, focused, determined to hear and fully retain what's there. That's
Amen.
A connection.
Yes.
How about truth and freedom? You make this connection, this spiritual understanding, that Jesus said, if you continue in my word, no one's going to come to a knowledge of the truth and right at the beginning. You get part of it. But if you continue in the words of the Lord, you're truly his disciples, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Yes.
What we've talked about, what brings people into bondage, their own choices, their own lack of making connections between actions and consequence, their own lack of understanding is undermining them. They are making bad choices, sowing to the flesh, and reaping the consequences. And so as you begin to know the truth sets you free from your own error, your own ignorance, your own bad ideas, your own lack of perception. And that's what the scripture says in the book of Hosea, my people perish for lack of knowledge. As we come to, the more we come to know the truth, as we come to a greater and greater understanding of the truth, you're going to experience greater and greater freedom from making bad decisions, from having poor judgments. That is something, that's a connection having spiritual understanding will help you make. How about suffering with maturity? Have you made that connection? You want to mature? You want to grow in the Lord? You want to become like Jesus? The Bible says he was a man of sorrows. And it says, for although he, Jesus, was a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. And it's not just talking about suffering on the cross. He suffered being in the world. You know how Jesus suffered? Jesus suffered being tempted. When he was tempted, he suffered. He matured. The idea of becoming perfect means to be complete. Do you want to become complete? Do you want to grow? Do you want to have a vibrant, well-rounded, stable faith? Well, make this connection. It's not going to happen without suffering. It's a part of what God uses to mature us. That's why Paul said, and this is the lower scripture here is in Romans chapter 5, after it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But not only that, we also rejoice in our tribulation.
Yes.
Knowing that tribulation works perseverance. See, you can rejoice in tribulation when you've made the connection. Oh, tribulation teaches me perseverance. Oh, that's a connection. So you count it all joy when you receive tribulation and you're tested, instead of murmuring and complaining. See, if you're murmuring and complaining when tribulation comes, you haven't made the connection. You lack understanding. Because God's blessings are come in hard and difficult packages sometimes. The blessing of God does not mean everything is easy. God gives what we need. Sometimes we need a spanking. Sometimes we need it to be hard.
Don't look at me.
No, I'm all right. Don't look at Rudy. What do we say all the time? No pain?
No gain.
No gain. Okay, we need to make that connection that God lets it be difficult on purpose. And perseverance, and the only way we can have perseverance is if it is difficult. Some of us would like to persevere like it would be 72 degrees all year round. We'd like to persevere. No, it's going to get rainy, it's going to get hot, or it's going to get cold. No, it takes difficulty to learn to persevere. But when you persevere, perseverance produces proven character. Have Amen. You made that connection?
Amen.
If you do, then you realize that, wow, God's ways are good. And even when he allows difficulty, you do what the scripture says to do. In everything you give thanks. And you do everything without murmuring or complaining. Because you know that God's at work. And you know what proven character produces? Hope. Wow. You learn to hope in God for everything. You learn to hope in God for wisdom. You hope in God for help. You hope in God for his encouragement. You hope in God for answers. And you learn to not give in. You learn that pity parties aren't that great. You learn to just lower your hands down and quitting and just, you know, being like the guy on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You can't fire me, I quit, you know. I just don't fit in. You know, remember his song, Why Am I Such a Misfit? I am not just a nitwit. You can't fire me, I quit. You know, that's... We need understanding. If you understand, you'll understand faith comes by hearing. You'll understand the knowledge of the truth brings you greater and greater spiritual freedom. You'll understand that part of God, the way God matures us, is we suffer so that we can grow in maturity. I think some of us are beginning to understand this, giving with blessing.
Yes.
You know who has the most problem with this? I'll tell you someone who's not. I'm just going to describe a person who has not learned this. The person not giving because they don't think they have anything to give has not learned this. Now, that there are those who do not bring something because you don't think you have something. Hey, you're not thinking. Because you're not counting little as important. We could use a whole lot more little gifts here on Wednesday night. Little things.
Yes.
I'd rather you bring a little thing that wouldn't feed hardly half a person than come empty-handed.
Yes.
See, if you convince yourself, I don't have it to give, then you said everyone else will give for me. Mm-mm. You haven't made a connection. Give, and it shall be given to you.
Yes.
So, see, how will some of us think? If I had it, I would give it. Mm. Maybe the Lord's saying, you're not giving everything you have. Maybe I'm waiting. Now, I know we need wisdom. I don't want anyone writing hot checks. You know, no. But the Lord sent the prophet Elijah to a widow. And when he met her, she was out on the way to cook her last meal.
Yes.
And then to sit down and die. That's what she said. Yes. And you know what he said? Feed me. Okay, what the audacity. She never lacked again.
Yes.
Because she gave him her last. Remember the woman that Jesus was sitting there at the temple where all the people come in and pour their money into the temple treasury? And some lady came up there and gave two little half pennies. Clink, clink. And remember what Jesus said? You see her? She has given more than everyone else because everyone else gave out of their extra. She gave out of her need.
Wow.
Don't underestimate. You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
Give and it will be given to you.
Yes.
Remember what Jesus said, whoever loses his life will find it. You know, when we started this Wednesday night meal, we started with nothing. The Lord has not failed to provide.
Amen.
For us. But you know why that is? Because there are some that are willing to give.
Yes.
And you know who the Lord's giving to? He's giving to the givers. Don't be just one of the receiving ones. Be a part of the giving. Okay? That is something, I'm not saying it for me. I have joy in giving, giving, giving. And I love it to be special. I'm saying it for you. I'm saying it for you. Don't miss out on that blessing.
Amen.
And don't underestimate what a little is, you know. You do it unto the Lord and see if the Lord and test the Lord and see if He doesn't bless you in that. And greatness with service. Have you made this connection? When the disciples were arguing one time, they did that, they were humans, about who was going to be the greatest. Who was the most important? You know, who was it going to be, Peter or John? You know, everyone has their idea that they want to be special and they want to be important and they want to be recognized. That's human. Jesus took a little child and he set this child on his lap and he first of all he told them, unless you guys repent and become like this child, you're not even going to get in the kingdom of heaven. First of all, to stop their arguing, he got their attention that way. And this is what he said. Do you want to be great in God's kingdom? Then you learn to be the servant of all. That means if you see someone's need and you can help, you be the helper. You be the bellboy. You be the bellhop. You be the waiter. You be the dishwasher. You hold open the door. You offer to get the cart. You do it. I mean, be there. Offer. That's greatness in God's kingdom. And if you really want to be first, okay, you get that. Jesus has this way of upping the ante, doesn't he? You want to be first? Then you have to be everyone's slave. I mean, a slave doesn't have any rights of his own, does he? That means his energy and his attention is completely on everybody else. See, he's talking about an attitude. That is the way to be first in God's sight. To have God looking at you with pleasure. How about this connection? Humility with greatness. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due season. Just being willing to be lowly, be willing to be overlooked, be willing to just do the minor, simple things. Be willing to do it and no one say thank you. Be willing to do it unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. God opposes the proud and He gives grace to the humble. So ask yourself, are you being filled with grace? Is His grace filling you? Well, maybe. Maybe there are still areas in our lives we can still humble ourselves. And so are you beginning to get the idea of what spiritual understanding is? It's the ability to put things together, to see how they fit. When I read the scriptures, it is a beautiful picture of God working, directing, yes, orchestrating, yes, in control.
Yes.
It's wonderful. Let me encourage you to do. Ask for understanding. Ask the Lord to help you to put it together, to see how things come together. Not only will you see things in the scripture, you'll see things in your relationship with people. He'll show you ways that how changes you can make can literally bring about the changes you're desiring in another person. He'll show you how to be a vital part of bringing that about. He'll show you how to effectively help someone in your life that needs help. You know, because you know how this is. A lot of times, the people who come to us for help, they want to tell us the kind of help they want, right? Here, you help me in this way. And you know that I've done that. We've done that over and over again. That's not going to help. God can give you understanding on how to help in a way, or how to stop helping in a way that's effective. You know, it's just something that will bless your life tremendously. Let's just kind of put these things together. Can you picture yourself? Because Jesus Christ can do this in our lives. Can you picture yourself having a tranquil spirit, just being so at peace, serene, just inside? You're just not anxious, you're not worried, you're not fearful. It's not that you know there's not going to be difficulty, it's just that you know God's with you. God's grace is going to be the way. You're tranquil. And that you have joy anticipating He's going to help you, that you don't have to go through this alone. That He's actually going to make it, if it's difficult, He's going to bring you maturity. You're going to grow in this. And your mind begins to settle. The peace of God begins to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus so that you become less anxious. You're less troubled. You're still facing those things that you have to deal with. But now, you don't face them with discouragement, with depression. You're not anxious, you're not confused, you're not upset, because you're experiencing spiritual blessings in your life. And then, we talked about last week, there's clarity. You begin to see things clearly. And it just helps you in every area. It helps you make good decisions. Or it helps you to wait. It helps you. It helps you learn how to respond when things come at you. And tonight, you know, just as we talked about spiritual understanding, the ability to see how things work together. Your life can experience a richness and quality in Christ that others will notice. Others around you will notice. They'll see it. They'll see God's blessing. Any questions? We're a little early, so any questions this evening on this? Or any thoughts? Even question or thought?
A clarification.
Clarification, sure.
When I told the pastor, don't look at me, wait, it's because he said, sometimes we need a spanking, and he was looking at me. He said, whoa, wait a minute.
You know, because I would have used all the time if I would have been.
That's why I said, don't look at me, because his gaze was fixed on me. Yeah. He said, whoa.
Let me give everyone an update on our air conditioning system. The interior unit is completely installed, and they were working on the roof unit even while we were here in Bible study. So it's very possibly by the first part of next week we'll have another 5 tons of heating and AC.
Wow.
You know, and just will make the sanctuary just very. It'll work like it should have been, like it should have worked. And so you'll know we have raised this is the person that's doing the work is the same person that does the work for Daily Bread Ministries. They're the ones who referred him. And he does pretty well work only for Christians, Christian homes or Christian businesses and churches. His bid was $6,000. We have raised, I think it's 4,000, let me look at the latest figure, $4,135. So we still have $1,800 to go. He'll want to be paid, you know, for the rest. We paid him for the material. We paid for the $4,200 what we paid so that they could purchase the equipment and get it installed. And then when they're done, we will pay the rest of the $6,000, which is the other $1,800. So if you will continue to pray about and give to that AC system.
There'll be a kind of like a alarm that
Well, this particular thing is inside the building, up in the ceiling, and on the roof.
Okay.
This is
but
something we've never had an issue with.
They have sealed the bottom from the other wing.
Yeah, and we're working on that's something that maybe Eli I might mention to you. Eli had asked me, we are sealing the bottom here because it's underneath here that's up slightly where they broke into. Or they didn't break in, they just crawled under to try to cut out the copper. We're sealing it off. So that we should have that done, you know, soon. And then we can use, we're trying to be doing it cheap as we can. So we use some chain link fence that my dad had. We're looking for about 20 more feet of chain link fence. If anybody knows some, you got a neighbor that's got a roll of chain link fence sitting in the yard or something like that. 20 feet is not very long, but we need 20 feet of chain link fence, and then we're
What is the height?
4 foot. Just it's pretty well standard.
Okay.
That's 4 foot is the standard height. So, and then we're working on that. And so any other an announcement. This for food ministry is this Saturday. If anyone would like to help us Friday, if you want to come and help us unload food, we've been blessed this week. We have a lot of good food. Friday, I do need some help doing some additional breaking down. We have cases of Brussels sprouts, cases of spinach, cases of green beans that need to go into individual bags. So if anyone wants to come and help us break down these cases into individual bags, you're welcome to come.
What is that, Friday?
That's Friday. Sure, and it's about 9 o'clock, 9 to 9:30 on Friday. We usually hear from 9 to 9:30 to 11:30. Then we're gonna get things ready for Saturday. And then for the choir members, we have, just so you'll know, we have one more practice, which is this Sunday afternoon, and then the cantata is a week from this coming Sunday. So just try to make it possible to be there. Any other announcements that we need to make?
You know, you were saying a while ago about that it is better to give than to receive. That's what the boxers say when they're boxing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I'd be on the giving end of that. Well, maybe there's a wonderful analogy. Maybe we need to be giving it to the devil instead of just taking it all the time, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, I can hear that. All right, thank you for being here, and we'll see you Sunday. Some of you on Friday.